Good morning. Welcome on this rainy day. Did you notice it's warm in here? I knew ahead of time, turned on the boiler, so isn't this cozy? And we're in God's house, celebrations. Just got a note from some friends of mine. They live in Africa in a little village, and they're having a terrible time. It turns out some beginning of the summer, some lions moved in on one side of the village. And over the summer, they noticed that they were on one side, and then they were up here, too. And so the villagers were getting kind of nervous. And just a couple of weeks ago, they noticed that the lions appeared to be all the way around the village. They were kind of worried. And the village elder, they went to him and said, "What are we going to do?" And he said, don't worry. The pride goeth before the fall. Not my joke, but it is what it is. All right, we want to jump in with that by way of announcements. I don't have a lot of announcements. On the back of the bulletin, you might have a couple things. Our schedule is pretty straightforward. Next Sunday, no, we have one more Sunday before World Communion Sunday. There are five Sundays, and that was the thing to announce, right, Stephanie? Fifth Sunday, next Sunday. So bring change, because we do our noisy Sunday, and you bring change, and the offering goes to the youth group. So I don't know where to get change. I'm going to have to go to the bank and buy some, I think, because I don't pay with cash for anything anymore. So if those of you who have a whole pile of change and want to cash some in, you look me up if you would. Anything else for the good of the order as we are about preparing and gathering? Just a note for the congregation, the Tongans traditionally had been worshiping at 3 or 3:30, and they have changed that now. They worship at 12:30, so we are, if the pastor runs over too long, we step into the Tongan time if we're not careful, but we celebrate. They're coming in as we are going out, and our congregation is mixed and varied. Next Sunday, I do not know if we have them with us or not, and Pia is not here this morning for me to ask that question. She is preparing for their service this afternoon. At any rate, bits of information. Welcome all of you. We welcome the people joining us online. Other announcements, things that we need to be aware of, things that we need to share with one another as we're about coming and gathering. If not, stand up, wave hello to one another. Debbie's going to lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time on and forevermore. The Lord raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Make them sit in the presence of his people. God gives the barren people a home, making them joyous parents of children.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high? The Lord looks upon the heavens and the earth
with compassion.
Praise the Lord. Please join us for the hymn, The Summons, in the 2130, page 2130.
I think we have a video of that.
Do
we have that video? No. All right. So, are you... Colleen is all set. What a professional. Thank you, Colleen.
Will you go where you don't know?
Scripture lesson today is from James 3:13 to 4:3, then 7 through 8. So shall you do Psalm 23?
Let's do it out of... Sorry. My goodness, you might want to hire somebody who has done this before and knows what they're doing. Let's see if we can just find it here. Or we could just read it off the screen.
Okay.
Maybe we have it right up there. Hold on a second, let me... Mike, do you have...
Who is wise and understandable among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, then do not be arrogant and lie about the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. In order to spend what you get on your pleasures, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Perfect.
Okay, now, yes, I'm the mission moment, and I will talk about the crop walk, which I've been on this committee for, I believe, 20 years or so, the Roar Crop Walk Committee. CROP stands for Communities Responding to Overcome Poverty. We walk every year in October, and 25% of it goes to Aurora Interfaith Community Services. The rest goes overseas to Church World Services. This year, the walk is going to be at Star K Ranch, which is located between Chambers and Buckley, or airport. Registration will begin at 1:30. There'll be a short walk and a longer walk. And also, if you can, please bring canned food beforehand to give to Aurora Interfaith. Thank you. I'll update you as the time goes on all of that. Thank you.
I'm not terribly sure how the scripture is wrong. That's a mystery in our midst, and God is full of mystery. But we overcome, amen? By way of prayer concerns. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on. I wonder if we have any updates on any of those. Do any of you know anything about any of the items that we have listed, the different things? Our prayer concerns continue. the battle in the Middle East seems to be escalating. Not sure how we can change that except through prayer. That battle in the Middle East has gone on through millennia. But may there be peace. We pray. We pray. By way of any other concerns, are there other concerns that you need to lift this morning? I'm going to lift Michael because he probably won't lift himself, but he got bit by a cat and ended up with an infected wound, and they had to do surgery. And now he has one finger that he is immobile. We're hoping that that comes back. He says, otherwise, his days of playing the guitar are over, and we don't want that. So prayers for you, Michael, in your recovery. Many of us have different ailments and doctor visits and things like that. We won't lift them or we will be here all day. But we are aware of those, and we are grateful that we have the wonderful medical knowledge that we have and the people that do that and the care that we receive. So grace and peace to you as you are aging gracefully. Are we all aging gracefully? We're doing our best, aren't we? Any other concerns? I have one other prayer. Family friend named Sheila Bowles has cancer and lives in Oregon, has decided not to battle it. So she has moved to hospice. So we pray for her as her journey from life and death and life again. Pray for the family around her and pray for a journey, an easy and smooth journey for her. I also have one thing that I'd like to celebrate if we're getting celebrations. My daughter Sarah is here. She traveled over the mountains, beat the weather. I'm thinking it's going to snow and hail and ice up, and she has to stay here, and we'll just keep her. I think that her husband Joe and my grandson Ryer would be a little bit anxious about that. But so anyway, Sarah is here. I got both sisters. The two sisters are here, and we're in trouble. Other joys that we want to lift this morning, Kiana Ryder and Ahi Tulatau are celebrating birthdays this morning. Colin Armstrong is going to be 23 on Wednesday. How many of you helped raise him? 33. Did I say 23? Forget that. Instant replay, 33 on Thursday. Andrew and Audrey both have birthdays. Joe, is that true? Audrey's going to be 32. Andrew's going to be 30 on the same day, on Thursday. Is that all right? And you got a party lined up for them? Oh, yeah. All right. Glad you didn't forget. Next Saturday, Don Boyles has a birthday. Dave Freeman has a birthday on Sunday. Oh, on Friday, Bo Mitchell has a birthday. Bo Mitchell, we got to sing. Can you give us a note? We got to sing happy birthday. He is going to be 16. Are we worried? All right, give us a note. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bo. Happy birthday to you. And now you know why I'm not the song leader around here. Thank you all. Other celebrations, things in our midst that we want to be aware of. Anything else? I don't see anything else. Let's take a silent moment as we... Now let's turn to our unison prayer before the song. Lord, hear our prayers. Precious Lord, thank you for joining with us this morning. We ask that you hear the words of our mouth, the meditations of our hearts, and the yearnings of our souls. Guide us, Lord. Lead us away from the scoffers and the doubters. Guide us from the rumors and deceptions. Guide us to truth in you, Lord. Amen. As we turn to you, O Lord, we are like trees planted by streams of water. flourishing and bearing fruit as witnesses to your creation. I invite you now to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Lord, in our journey, we move to a season now as fall, the equinox is upon us. We recognize that the busyness and the growth and the vibrancy of summer is beginning to fade, and we pray for the celebration of the colors that signify fall. We pray for the gathering of crops. We pray for the resolving of growth seasons. We pray for farmers and for harvesters and for workers that gather the world food to care for us. Lord, we pray as we are about this changing season that the seasons in our life include growing seasons within you, not seasons of fall and slowing down and preparing for winter's rest, but season of preparation, season of thanksgiving, seasons of celebrations of the bounty around us and the people who are about harvesting that bounty and our part in nourishing one another, that the harvest of the Lord might be rich and full and include many, many, many. Lord, we gather, and we have prayers that are upon our hearts that we share only in silent meditations with you. Thank you for hearing them. Thank you for your constant presence with us, especially in the dark nights of our souls, in the nighttime, in the darkness, in the worries and the fretting. Lord, thank you, and thank you for your gift of your Son to come and guide us and teach us. And may we turn our eyes and our minds and our souls to hear what Jesus might teach us today, what we might learn as we are about being your children, what we might learn about being brothers and sisters to the world. Be with us, Lord, as is always your way. And hear the prayer that we join with our neighbors around the world, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Take a moment of meditation with as Colleen offers us an offertory.
Please stand if you are able for the New Testament reading. It's Mark 9:30 through 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another, who was the greatest? He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite him up for this VBS song.
Oh.
You want to do that? All right, Stephanie, you have to clone yourself. But she's running the computer for Paya. But she's also leading the kiddos, so we're going to do our aerobic session. So Stephanie and Hadley are going to lead us. This is, God is, I can't remember. I didn't write it, and we'll find out very shortly. Thank you, Stephanie and Hadley, and everyone. You may be seated and sit down for a second. Now you got your blood flowing good. Gets you a lot of extra blood to your brain. Gets you all ready for the word. You know, we talked about IQ last week a little bit, and people with high IQ and low IQ. Have any of you ever taken an IQ test? Took an IQ test in middle school and was working on one of the questions, and the questioner actually stopped and said, let me explain the test again to you. So I must have been doing very, very bad. It was about remembering a sequence of numbers. that she would tell me a series of numbers. I was supposed to tell it back to her. Turns out I'm really bad at that. I just am not any good at all. It never happened. At any rate, IQ tests are kind of interesting, but I was in my first year of college, Psych 101, my teacher's name, Pat Fink. God bless Miss Pat Fink. Odd character for a teacher. She didn't look like a teacher. She looked like a student. She was a rascal. She was just, it just didn't fit. But talk about touching some hearts and souls and teaching a lot. She taught us an awful lot, taught me a lot, and I didn't think I was going to learn anything out of Psych 101. But one of the things she taught me is that, or taught the class, she said, sometimes in IQ tests, they ask you tests that are supposed to be how creative can you be, how fast can you think ahead. But in fact, they often might really have to do with, have you seen and understood this question before, and do you know how it works? So I'm going to give you the one that I kind of like. I had read it beforehand, so when she gave it to the class, I was the only one that knew it. I felt like $1 million. That was great. And it goes like this. Now, Stephanie and I are going to try and coordinate it. So here we go. So you have a task before you. You've been given 80 pennies. Now, a penny, as we know, is only worth 1 cent. They actually cost, what, 4 cents to make? Figure that one out. That's another story. But out of the 80 pennies, one of them is actually made out of solid gold. So it's worth a lot more than a penny, in fact. But you have to figure out which one is the gold penny. It looks identical. And if you held it in your hand, you would not be able to tell the difference. We'll pretend that at the moment. So you can't tell it. But you have one tool to help you. You have a balance. Do we have a picture of a balance there, Miss Stephanie? There we go. So you know what a balance is. This is a very accurate balance. So a penny on one side and the gold penny on the other side, it would instantly show you the heavier coin, the gold one, and you'd be able to find it. But you've got 80 coins. How many weighings, worst case scenario, are you going to have to do? Yeah, it's a trick question, so you're right to keep quiet a minute. So here's what you do. You take the 80 coins and you divide it into two chunks of 40. Put them on the scale. The heavy coin is going to be in one of those groups, isn't it? That side's going to sink. Take the side that didn't sink, because that's not the gold coins. We know it's not in that group of 40. So now you have 20 coins. You take 20 and you put them on each side. One side's heavier. Take the side that's not off, you set it aside. So now you take the 20 and you divide it into two pieces. Now you have 10 coins each. And again, the scale's going to tell you which group the heavy penny's in. So you take that and you divide them up. Now you take the 10, you divide it in half, and oh no, there are 5 coins. How do you divide 5 coins in half? Well, there are actually a couple ways to solve this. But what I would do is take 1 coin and set it to the side, and the other 4, I would put 2 on each side of the scale. So now you run this test, and if the scales balance, then that coin you set to the side is the gold one, isn't it? But if one side of the scale drops, then you weigh one more time, and you found your gold coin. 6 times. It was fun psych class. They're working with this, and they're saying, well, you're going to have to do it 79, or, you know, there was 80 coins, 79 times 69, and they're all guessing these numbers, and I pipe up with 6. And the guy in front of me was a good friend of mine from high school, and he turned around and looked at me and says, you are nuts, and he was laughing at me, and the whole class was laughing at me until we talked about what this is called. This is called the split halves method. So the next time you take an IQ test, you know how to do split halves. Intriguingly, split halves works in other ways in our lives. I don't have any of the concrete examples, but I know that I have used it throughout my life to help figure out things. Instead of having to take and examine each unit at a time, there are ways to divide things up and to cut down on the number of iterations. So now you just had a lesson in how to answer an IQ test. I hope you remember it. I hope it pays out. And if you find a gold coin, I get half. So now we're going to turn to our morning lesson. And the bulletin has on the cover, it has a picture, or it's a portion of the painting by Cranach the Elder. Rich Schneer is here, and you know that we share Rich Schneer with the Lutheran Church. And Rich, do you recognize Cranach the Elder, or do you recognize this style of painting? You can say no, because it would be very obtuse if you did. The next slide, you'll recognize this one. Who's that, Richard? That's Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King. I did confirmation classes, and the kids would say, oh, that's Martin Luther King? They didn't quite figure. Martin Luther King named after, perhaps. But this is the original Martin Luther. Date, Richard, 1450? The beginning of the Radical Reformation. I was close, 100 years off. Okay, 15-something. I knew it was back there in the 15s and the 14s. So anyway, he began the Radical Reformation. He was a contemporary of this Cranach the Elder that painted the painting. That's the only reason we got Luther in here. Although it's always nice to learn a little bit and be aware. We are part of that Radical Reformation. We separated from the Roman Catholic Church to become Protestants. Luther protested against the church. Protestant, that's where that term comes from. Anyway, Cranach the Elder is our slide, and it reflects back on our scripture that Deb read this morning that I cited wrong. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. That's what Cranach was painting. That was what that painting is about. There's all of the women and children. We should have a slide. See the women? And there's kids everywhere. And they're all around Jesus. They're surrounding him. And he's paying attention to them. Now, in Jesus' time, women were not really people. They were a subgroup of humanity. We've talked about that. You didn't have a vote. You didn't have a name. You couldn't own property unless you had a male to be with you. It was very subordinate role. So women and children were a liability until they could grow up and help you work the farm or do other things or bring in money or get married and what have you. So women and children and paying attention to them was antithetical to what the disciples were about. Remember, they were arguing as they were traveling about which one of them was the greatest. Jesus was going to be great and powerful. He was going to hobnob with kings and princes. And here, he's not hobnobbing with the rich, wealthy, and powerful, but with the powerless. Women, children. It's an interesting slide. The disciples, next slide, Stephanie. The disciples, look at their faces. Now, Cranach has them posited at being fairly old men, and none of them would have been over 30 in all realistic sense, but they're astonished and even sad. How can Jesus be paying attention to women and children? And yet Jesus does. The women's slide is next. These are God's children, and God has a special place in God's heart for children and women. And another interesting thing about children is it's easy to love children. Have you ever been in a gathering of some sort and there's kids there? The kids are the ones that are most welcoming, and I actually get along with them best. Maybe intellectually we're on the same level, you know? And I love it when even in groups that are of different ethnicity and languages, that the children are the bridge. Children are children. You know what's funny? I've discovered that everybody laughs in the same way. Every language. Somebody help me with that. I'm not a linguist, but isn't it true that every language, the ha-ha-ha of a child, of a person, is the same? I don't know. I can't prove that, but it seems to be the case from what I've observed. But here are the children and the little children, loving the little children, caring for them. And if you have a group, even if they are a group that is antagonistic towards one another, if a child is endangered, they will close ranks and put aside their differences for the child. In most cases, God willing. And it's a lesson to us, because all of our brothers and sisters are children of God, and we can turn to them. But Jesus turns to these, the powerless, the ones without. And not only does he do that, but in another part of our scriptures, we hear that he does something else that tells the least of you will be first. And he demonstrates it with the foot washing. He washes the feet of his disciples. That's not done. That is not done. If you go and visit someone's house, there'll be some hired help there to wash your feet, to clean the dust off your feet. That's how you show hospitality. And the water they use is foot washing water. It's non-potable. And that's, by the way, the water that gets turned into wine. You remember in Cana, Galilee? But here are the foot washers. They are the helpers, the servants. And Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Remember, Simon Peter says, "No, you cannot wash my feet, Lord. I am the disciple. You are the master." And what does Jesus say? "Unless you make yourselves like me, you have no part of me. Unless you can be subservient to all others and serve them, you have no piece of me." Simon Peter, of course, says, "Well, then wash all of me." He wants to be a part of that. He wants to be a piece of it. He still hasn't quite grasped what all it means, has he? There's an interesting phrase in Deb read from James. And it says, "Who is wise and understandable among you should show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom." Show by your good life. I had to chuckle when I read that. Here's my version of the good life. It may not be quite like that. I might have it decorated a little bit differently, but this is a palace in France. Isn't this lovely? Look at the chairs and the furniture and the attire, and it is just really the good life. This is opulence. This is awesome stuff. And so showing by your good life that your works are done with gentleness may have an interesting problem there. So a different translation. Instead of good life, show by your humble lifestyle. That's the New English Version translation of that same phrase. Your good life, meaning you're doing good, you're being good, not your being showing off your wealth, but your humble lifestyle. Show by your humble lifestyle your gentleness born of wisdom. It's not something that fits in our culture even today, does it? Those who have want to show off what they have. Those who are able will live opulently. In any gathering where that's the case, those who are living the good life in modern society, there will be all of those others who don't have those opportunities, who are working and who are struggling and who are serving in ways that aren't servants and slaves anymore, but fit that role. It amazes me how often I'll walk into a convenience store or even a big box store, and the The clerks assisting are older than I am. And I think to myself, wait a minute, now I'm old enough to retire. You've got to be plenty old enough to be retired. But they may not have a safety net. They may not have a retirement set aside. They may be working for their daily bread in their homes and to pay the bills. And I reflect on that when I have to pause. Do you remember the musical Showboat? Sorry, I had a little moment there, didn't I? Showboat, it's not one that we see a lot, but you probably remember a song out of it. It's Old Man River. Do you remember that song? I was going to call Mark up here and have him, Old Man River. Or Richard, I don't know which one of you have the deeper bass anymore. We're all getting to the point where it's not there. Oh, I love that song, especially growing up as a kid. Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. But you know, it wasn't until I was an adult that I really listened to the lyrics. Old Man River doesn't care about injustice. Old Man River doesn't care about free and slave. Doesn't care about the people whose bodies are aching and who are racked with pain. Old Man River just keeps on flowing away. Time to pause and remember in our lives, in our humble lifestyle, whose we are and who we belong to. So I taught you a lesson this morning called split halves. That was with the coins. Do you remember it, Art, still? Still stuck in there, okay? I don't want to have a quiz, but I think if you're all up to date on that, we're still all right. So we talked about the split halves and all of that. That's one of our lessons for this morning. The second one is humility, isn't it? Here we are talking about a humble lifestyle as a having a good life, a life worthy of our Lord. And there's also a lesson about honoring the powerless and caring for them. But there's another lesson in here too. And this comes, and it's kind of an aside lesson, but I have to kind of back into it. I served as helping with a food bank for a while. And we were at the food bank. Once a month, they would distribute food, and the people in the neighborhood, everybody knew about it, had been going on for years. So there'd be a big crowd that showed up early, and they would each gather some of what was being given away there in the food bank to try and help people who help people make ends meet, people who needed it. And there were women with children, and we knew that they were really depending upon that food to help them get by. But I was working alongside one of the other helpers, and he said to me, he said, you see this lady coming up? And I glanced over, and it was a woman who was pretty nicely decked out. She had on makeup, her hair was done, it looked like. She was wearing pretty nice clothes and jewelry, and she had a little cart that she pulled to put all her food on. And I said, what about her? And he said, she drives a Cadillac. She shows up here in a Cadillac to get food. And I had to pause, and I smiled, because that first year, Psych 101 with Mrs. Pat Fink, she taught us another lesson. She said, sometimes, she said, you see somebody and they're decked out and they got a nice car, nice clothes, and you might see them on the boulevard driving up and down or in a restaurant one day a week eating whatever. He says, and you might follow them, she said, back home, and they live in a tar paper shack and they work menial jobs and they have nothing and they can be nothing. They have no education. They have no foundation to retirement, no support. They are oppressively poor. They're beaten down in that life that they have. And if you lived in that, it would be so overwhelming, you couldn't survive. But they can take, and they can afford to buy a car and some nice, one outfit of nice clothes. And so for one day a week, they can escape from their poverty and go out and be in the world and smile and have pride because for a brief instant, they can allow their souls to soar and escape what is unimaginable. Pat Fink smiled when she told us that story because we had all thought about that with somebody. It's easy to judge, but that's what Jesus said. Do you remember? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Don't do that judging. God knows the whole story. Remember Paul Harvey? I think all of us in here are old enough to remember Paul Harvey. He used to say, the rest of the story, he'd have those quips. Is he still alive? Everybody's shaking their head no. If he's alive, he's embarrassed. Paul Harvey would always have the rest of the story behind the story, and we don't always have that. God has that. So that woman coming through the food line, we don't know. She might have not needed that food, but it was cheap and easy, and she could come and get it and take it back to her expensive condo. It's possible. And there are some who abuse the system and do that. But it may not be either. And we don't know, so we cannot judge. Did we learn some lessons this morning? We hit on lessons we've known before, but we needed to refocus on those, be reaware of those, and remember what Jesus is doing teaching us. He taught his disciples. He teaches us. And I have a slide there of the Last Supper. This is not the traditional one that you have seen before. Stephanie, do you have that? There it is. Thank you. Teaching, lessons, ways for us to refine our lives, to walk humbly with our Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's stop there. It's almost lunchtime. We're getting close. And let's sing a song that is one of my kids' favorite and mine as well. Miss Colleen's going to lead it. Mark, would you come help by leading? Stand if you are able and comfortable. We are the church.
Church, we are the church together. Yes, when the church together at Pentecost, some people received the Holy Spirit and told the goodness through the word to all who would hear it. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together.
Brings back memories, boy. My kids were about this tall the first time we sang that in a little church. That's been a year or two. This hair wasn't gray at that point in time. It's all right. We are the church, and we have lessons to teach to the world, lessons that the Master has taught to us. Give us strength, give us wisdom, allow us to teach that. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Join hands. Let's sing our God's people said, amen. Amen.